Our lesson this evening is a continuation a little bit of this morning, just in concept actually. Of I believe. And this evening's lessons, actually, our passages for our lesson this evening come from the Old Testament and the New Testament, because there are more references in the New Testament to the Old Testament, I believe, than there is in the Old Testament. Does that make sense? Kind of, maybe. I think you'll see, but Kelly said it would be too confusing if I said that, but I'd rather be confusing than, I don't know. I believe, as we talked about this morning, it's very important for us to believe. And as we look at our first passage this evening, in Genesis 15, 1 through 7, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, the one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." Abram believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, when we think of righteousness, what do we think of righteousness? Do we think about our faith as righteous? Yes. Do we think that our belief or our faith enables us for our righteousness? Because really, we account righteousness to God and His grace and His mercy. Now, we do right things. We're here this evening studying God's holy word. We're looking at God's holy word, which is a very righteous act to do. It's a right thing to do. And we believe, just like Abram did, as we are looking at this word this evening. But you know, it's curious that God says to Abram, "Do not be afraid, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And God says, "Yeah, but I ain't got no kids." Yeah, Abram says that, not God. Abram says, "I ain't got no kids. You can do all things for me, God, you know, and I got all kinds of things, and you saved me and blessed me, but I don't have no kids." And then he says, "I will give you kids." And then he said, "Go outside and take a look upstairs." And he said, "If you can count them." Because you know what? God knew that he could not count the stars that are in heaven. With all the technology we have in our world today, right? The technology is just amazing. Between being able to see afar and biology and chemistry and physics and research, it's just unbelievable, as we are wonderfully made also. But we still can't count all the stars that are out there. Matter of fact, God may make some more stars today, make some more tomorrow, and take some away. I'm not big into stars, so I don't know if he does that or that happens or not, but he has the power to do that. But he tells Abram to look up and says, "Your descendants." Folks, do you consider yourself to be one of those descendants God spoke about?
thousands and thousands of years ago. You should. Because we are considered his descendants by faith. Because we believe just like he believed. Sometimes we want to remove ourselves from the people in the Bible that, they're almost movie stars. Bible characters are movie stars. But folks, they're just people that went through life just like we did. Like we are. And he believed just like we can believe. And he can look around and ask, and God, is not God our shield and a great reward in our lives? Certainly he is. Certainly he is. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, as Jesus said. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, it says, "And so they arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper.'" Old Jehoshaphat was one of the kings. I believe his dad was Asa. And there's good things about Asa, and Asa made a few mistakes along the way. Jehoshaphat did some very good things. Actually, he kept all the statutes that his dad had put in place, except for he didn't remove the high places. He did a good job of following God Almighty, but he didn't, with the authority he had, remove all of those high places. Places where they worship foreign gods, worship areas that were non-prescribed by God for God. But he said, he comes out to all Jerusalem, all the people, and he says, "Believe in the Lord and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper." And a small group of the people of God, those people of Judah, the following passage is that he wiped out, I can't remember all now. It was in between 7 to 10 tribes that he wiped out. Chaldeans, Babylonians, there were a ton of them that God sent that they confused and killed each other and killed all the people. And the inhabitants in Jehoshaphat, after God wiped out all those people without the people of Judah even having to lift anything, took them 3 days to go through all the dead bodies and find a spoil. Jewelry, money, things worth value. And they still couldn't carry it all with them. That's how much spoil was left after all these groups of people had come together. They had come together to eliminate Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. God miraculously delivered them from that. Folks, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. When we think of being established, how do we think in our world of being established, if we're going to say that? I live at 729 East 750 North, Lebanon, Indiana. 46052, that's where my establishment is. Now, if I hadn't said that, how many of you could have told me what my address is? Anybody would have known that off the top of their head? You know how to get there. You might have remembered the road number. Will you remember my house number and the zip code if you don't know it of Lebanon? No, that is, you know what? That establishment really is only precious to me when I'm getting mail, when I'm telling somebody where I live, when I send that money to the bank every month. I'm established. We're established, my wife and I. But this is not the type of establishment necessarily God is talking about. He's talking about, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established in your heart. written on your heart. I meant to say this a little earlier, and I don't know if it's still possible or even a thought. But you know, we give our birthdays and anniversaries and stuff to be put on a bulletin board to Sister Rose. Just a concept. What about if we put our birthday and the Lord on the board? Just a thought. If she says no, that's okay, because she's running the show on the board. I'm okay with that. But it would be a thought, you know? Were you established when you were baptized into Christ? Certainly. Certainly. That's when you began your covenant with God. That's when you began your walk in the way. That's when we come in contact with the blood of Christ. So we are, or should be, or shall be established. But in order to do that, we've got to believe in the Lord, and we have to believe in His prophets. And you shall prosper. Now, how many of us have money beyond measure? Besides Tom. I'm just kidding you. Well, none of us do, folks. So let's use some logic and just some common sense. What type of prosper is he talking about? Peace, joy, love, happiness? Fruits of the Spirit? Folks, it's tough to have fruits of the Spirit when we're having troubling times, but we will have troubling times in this life. What about the prosper of having life eternal for us as Christians? We have an understanding as children of God that they didn't have back then. They didn't have an inkling, you know, necessarily as a whole about angels, about heaven, about living for eternity, about the flesh and the spirit. We are so blessed with those understandings that we believe in. I'm going to have to hurry now. Psalms 27, verse 13 specifically, but 11 through 14 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Obviously, David has written a psalm in one of his trials. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. In the land of the living, that I would see goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David, you know, you think about David, and you know, we talk about movie star recognition of the Bible. But this guy, He goes from being a shepherd, okay, to being one of the king's right-hand men, best buds. Man, come soothe me with the way you play and you sing. To being one of the best warriors ever documented. Then he has to go hide and run for his life and wonder who his friends are. And he has to plead to God on multiple occasions. "I don't understand. I was doing everything right. Wasn't I a good shepherd? Wasn't I a good psalmist? Wasn't I a good writer, a singer? Wasn't I a good warrior? Haven't I done great things in your name?" And then he goes through some terrible times. Then he becomes king and does great things. And then he quits doing great things when he becomes a king and he becomes blessed. And he stays at home instead of going and fighting in the battles like he should have been. And adultery and sin. He's tempted, and he doesn't say, "Satan, get behind me." If David had been fighting in the battles like he had previously and he hadn't stayed home, guess what? But unless I believed, even though David made some mistakes in his life, he never quit believing. He waited on the Lord. He opened his heart. He was of good courage. He recognized that his strength and his resolve and his salvation came from God. Come from God. And that's the same thing with us, folks. I don't know. I struggle with that because I want to be self-sufficient. We live in a time when we are so self-sufficient. We've got our own establishment. We don't have to rely on other people. We got enough groceries in the cupboard to last for weeks and weeks on end. Well, most of us do. Maybe not. Maybe we're the only family that. We've got a whole cupboard full of stuff that we could live for a month if we needed to. Can you imagine that? There's other parts of the world, they don't even comprehend that. They still walk the market every day and back and get what they need for the day. That sounds crazy. But it's not. We need to make sure that our blessings don't hinder us from continuing to believe. We've got to keep our faith in the good times because we really are going to need it in the bad times. In Psalms 119, 66 and following, 50, 65 and following, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. That it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." For I believe your commandments. Verse 71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." That's a very simple reality, folks, for us. Because how do we learn? You know, I know something, but how have I learned something? How do we learn of Christ? How do we learn of Him? Come take my yoke. You don't learn from a yoke just by hanging it in the barn. Right? You don't learn from a yoke by not putting it on an ox, by not taking it out and using it. And as David says here in Psalm 119, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." That's a tough thing for me to say. It's good for me that I go through stuff. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Sometimes I go through stuff just because my own misgivings. Misunderstandings. You know? I wonder why that person was mad at me today. That person didn't talk to me. I wonder what I did wrong. I did nothing wrong. That person was having a bad day and was thinking about something else and just happened to not speak to me. It wasn't something I did. but yet I feel afflicted. There's times, folks, when we feel downpressed and trodden, and really, that's Satan winning over in our minds and hearts. And if there is an issue, we need to follow what Jesus said by going to them. That I may learn your statutes. I can go downtown to the courthouse and read all the laws that Boone County has on the books. And I'm not going to remember them all. And I won't even use hardly any of them unless it comes and fits my need. But when I start opening God's rules and laws and statutes, folks, there's going to be different times that I pick and choose and things work for me. But if I don't have them as a resource in my mind and in my heart, how can I pull from them? How can I draw from those truths? How can I believe in them that I may learn from those statutes? Now we're switching. Guess what? The rest of the passages we'll look at this evening are New Testament passages that refer to the Old Testament. What shall we say? That Abraham, our father, was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. We talked about this in Bible class this morning. Abraham was justified by his faith, just like we are. It's talked about in Ephesians. We're justified by grace, through faith, by grace. This is not a gift of not of works, but it's a gift of God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. How do you account righteousness? If you're going to account righteousness, you know, how would I? I'll use brother. I'm glad you guys are so open because I love using us as examples. Brother Tony, I love you, man. How do I account something to Tony as righteousness? He brings his wife and his children to service. He represents and serves as the elders of asking to serve and serves as a deacon. Accounted to him for righteousness. Does that mean that that's helping him earn his salvation? Absolutely not. He's doing it because of the commitment he made. Because of debt, like this passage says. Same way that Abraham's faith saved him. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. Not because I'm earning my salvation. Not because I'm playing tit for tat with God. Folks, that's a dangerous situation to be in. We struggle with it in our lives, folks. We do. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. You ever heard that before at Home DC? Why, certainly. And we all do that to some extent. But let's not do that with God in our relationship with Him. How crazy is it to try and negotiate with God, with our salvation, with His grace, with His mercy? It's far more than we could ever imagine. But we, just like Abraham, believe in God and are justified through our faith in Him. In Romans 9, specifically verse 33, but in beginning in 29, and as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath has left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." Folks, I'm going to let the word of God speak for itself in the next few passages because we're running short on time. Thank you for your patience. But folks, unless God had left Jesus for us, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's crazy. That's crazy. And make sure this week, as we start a week, that Jesus is not a stumbling block in your life. Make sure it's a comfort. Make sure it's a blanket, blankie. Okay? Make sure it's a refuge. Make sure He is the great I Am in your life. And you will not be put to shame. Certainly not in the kingdom of heaven. Romans chapter 10 is written, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written," Old Testament, "how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who has believed our report? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, He who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham before saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." We talked about that earlier when we were looking at that passage. In James 2:23 it is written, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." I thought that was the last passage. "Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So you as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Folks, that's us. That's great. I read this verse multiple times in preparation for this lesson, and I read this last part, and I'm thinking, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, special people, proclaim praises, brought out of the darkness, obtain mercy, are the people of God. Folks, that's us. Because we believe. Our lesson this morning is this evening and this morning, I believe. Folks, he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Glory in God this week in your faith. Tell somebody you believe. Just show somebody you believe by how you act. If you have need of an invitation this evening for any reason at all, we offer that at this time as we stand and sing Selected Hymn.